Hello, this is Councilman Joseph Simpson for District 9, and you're listening to the afternoon show with Amos Brown on AM 1310 The Light.
All right, you're not going to believe this. I have in the house the Associate Director of Community Relations and Outreach for Indiana University's Office of Admission. That's Kayla Granville. And then I have in the house Tara Evans, Associate Director of Purdue Admissions. They're sitting here together. Tara has on Purdue colors. Kayla, well, you'll see it when the picture's on the website here. She's going environmentally.
The green is for luck.
There you go, environmentally. And evidently they work together. Recruiting minority students for either IU or Purdue. Probably trying to take everybody from Ball State and Indiana State and Harvard and Northwestern and everything else. And they're in our studios live because it is recruitment time. It's the time when juniors and sophomores and even freshmen ought to be thinking about college. And Kayla and Tara, guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what started Purdue and IU wanting to work together when normally they're beating each other's brains out?
I would say it started because Tara's been in this field, in this area for quite some time. I was new. I started my job in February. Yeah. And so my team was just like, you need to hook up with Tara. She can show you around Indianapolis, you know, kind of get you used and acclimated to the counselors there. And so I kind of just reached out to her for her experience and her wisdom. And then we started seeing each other a lot at college fairs, and we were always the last to leave the college fairs. And then we started seeing each other at high schools as well. And so just started thinking, what are ways that we can maybe kill two birds with one stone and come together?
So when you all are going out and you all, when you all are recruiting for admissions, is this admissions for the main campus, West Lafayette and Bloomington, or is this admissions for the system?
So great question. We represent our traditional campuses, so either in West Lafayette or in Bloomington. So that is our primary recruitment responsibility. And as we're working with students and depending on what their interests are, I think we try to steer them in the direction that's the best fit for them, either academically or socially or whatever their preference is.
There may be people that still don't understand that the two main campuses, both West Lafayette and IU Bloomington, the standards are tighter. The competition is tougher. As you go out into the community and talk with students and parents and counselors, particularly students, parents, and counselors of color, do they understand that? Because there may be people thinking, wait a minute, I remember all I had to do was sign a piece of paper and I could go to Bloomington or I could go to Purdue.
That is definitely one of the challenges that we face, and sometimes the misnomer, but also an opportunity that we have to share with them that the schools that they've loved since they were little, that they've loved on the basketball court or in the football field, have excellent programs that are known around the country and around the world. And so when you're looking at really competitive programs like engineering, Purdue Engineering in the top 10, or like the Jacobs School of Music, although they're at your homegrown schools like Purdue and IU, they're going to be some of the most competitive programs just as you're applying to any other top 10 school around the country.
That's a dumb question because I don't want to assume that the audience understands what the basic requirement is to enter. So, Kayla, what is the basic requirement for a student to be eligible for IU Bloomington?
Right now, our student profile is running at a 3.7 GPA.
On a 4 scale?
On a 4.0 scale, yes.
Okay.
And we're running about a little over 1,200 median SAT.
And that's 1,200 out of the 20. What is it?
That's critical reading and math only. And that changes, SAT changes a little bit in how they calculate that for Purdue. And Tara can talk about that. And then our ACT median right now is about a 27. And so generally our students, when I'm recruiting, I like to say if you're closer to the 3.5 GPA or higher, if you're above 23 ACT or higher and above 1,100 SAT or higher, then you're a good candidate, and should definitely consider IU Bloomington.
All right, Tara, what's the basic requirements for Purdue, West Lafayette?
Our middle 50% range. So if you look at all of the students who came last year, roughly 6,000 students, a little bit more than that, We had about 6,300, but for nice round numbers, about 3,000 of them had GPAs between a 3.5 and a 4.0, mm-hmm. and 25% had GPAs and test scores higher than that, and about 25% lower than that. In our SAT range, we look at all three parts, so critical reading, verbal, and math, mm-hmm. and those ranged between a 1,600 and a 1,950, and on the ACT, those ranged between a 24 and a 30, and we do require the writing on the ACT, so between a 23 and a 28. But I think one of the distinct differences in admission is that we admit directly to programs. So you're applying directly to the College of Liberal Arts or the College of Pharmacy or the College of, or the Craner School of Management. Mm-hmm. And so the academic credentials may differ based on the program because some are much more competitive than others. Oh. But typically, if students have A's and B's in their courses, they're going to be competitive for most of the majors minus those that are the most competitive.
On hypothetical, because I know mm-hmm. when I talk to admissions folks, we got to deal in the hypothetical and not the reality. But hypothetical, a prospective student is killing it on the GPA. I mean, they're at that 3.8, 3.9, 3.9 with 9 stretched out like 55 points. But they have horrible ACTs or horrible SATs. Or you get the reverse kid, the kid who has knocked it out of the park with whatever the top score is on the standardized test, and their grades are a high 2-point something or a low 3 points. How do you balance that?
We look at everything. For us, we have an essay question. Purdue also has an essay question on their application. That's definitely when I encourage my students to make contact with me, mm-hmm. To let me know what your situation is. Let's have a conversation. Let's look at your transcript. Let's look at your profile. Let's look at the activities that you're doing. Let's look at extra curriculars and scholarship programs that you might be doing here in the city, like CLD or mm-hmm. YMCA Achievers or something like that. Let's look at all of that so that we can help craft the best way to make sure that your application gets the type of review that it deserves.
239-1310, 239-1310. I bet some people have some questions about all this stuff. So now what happens when you find a great student that would fit IU and Purdue? What do you do? You both say, hey, come and let the kid decide and the parent decide where you go? Because you always admit more than you know are going to show up.
Right. Right. And that's definitely a question we get all the time. Well, why should I come to Purdue versus IU? Or I'm sure Kayla gets the same question about IU versus Purdue. And I think what we want is for students to attend the school that's the best fit for them. And so when it comes to academic programs, either we have it or we don't, and there are a lot of programs that overlap as well. But when you walk on campus and you have that experience, is this where you want to call home for the next 4 years? Do you want to be a Boilermaker? Do you want to have the winning record for the Old Oak and Bucket, even though we didn't win the last time?
There she goes, y'all.
But y'all got soccer.
We do.
There you go.
We do. Absolutely.
And so,
in real football.
It is the world's football. You're right. So I think it just kind of depends on what type of experience they want to have outside of the academic program.
239-1310. 239-1310 is after his name. Let me go to Kay. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Amos. I've got a question. Mm-hmm. I've got a client that had submitted her packet for admission, and she stated that she was told that the packet was lost. And that because the packet was lost, of course, the deadline has been expired now. She wanted to know what she could do, if there was anything she could do at all. She's a senior getting ready to graduate very shortly from Ben Davis. And she's met all the academic qualifications, but because the packet was lost, she feels like that opportunity has passed her. So I'll get off the phone now and hear your answer.
Wait, hold. Don't leave. Don't make a statement. When you say the packet, this is the information that the young person submitted to the school?
That is correct.
And the school acknowledged they lost it or that they never received it?
No, they acknowledged that they lost it and several others.
They lost it.
Yes.
And she has receipts from the computer that said they received it.
That was what she told me, that they had received the academic packet she had submitted.
No, but she has a record, because you have to submit all this stuff online. Does she have a record that she sent it?
Yes.
Okay.
She does have that record.
All right. Which school are we talking about?
IU.
Okay. Has she talked to a supervisor in the Department of Admissions?
I don't think so. I think, in fact, what she told me was that she had called them to find out where the packet was and where the process was of that packet.
And when
she was told that the packet had been lost. She asked if she could reapply.
Did she get the name? All right, the person that told her was lost, did she get their name?
I don't think so.
Okay, and when was this conversation that it was lost?
This was right after they went back to school, so it was the beginning of January.
All right, here's what I want you to do. Drew is going to get a sheet of paper, and I want you to give Drew your name and the name of the student involved, a phone number where you can be reached during the day, and then we'll fold that up because that's student information. We got to keep that private, and we will slip it to Sister Kayla, and, you know, she will have somebody research that, because if the university has said they lost it, then it is their responsibility to try to figure out how to make that good. And if you have proof that you sent it, if you got electronic proof that you've sent it, then that's in your favor. So hold on, and Drew will get that information, Kay, and that'll allow me to talk to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there. Hello? Anonymous going once. Anonymous going twice. Let me go to Marcia. Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Marcia, and how you doing, Amos?
We're fine. What's up?
I'm a parent of a student that's at Fall Creek Academy.
Hold on. Can I have you hold on the Fall Creek Academy, because I'm talking with IU and Purdue. And I'm gonna get to Fall Creek Academy in about 15 minutes.
Okay, it's something you need to hear then.
Oh, trust me. I want to hear everything about Fall Creek Academy today. So can you call? Hit me back in about 15 minutes, and we definitely going to get into that, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Thank you. 239-1310. Yeah, that's one of the schools. Ball State is closing, and Ball State ain't learned PR from their PR department. But that's a whole nother kettle of fish. What does happen, though, hypothetically? If what is the responsibility of the applicant to continue to follow up with the admissions office? Is it wrong to be, some people may think, well, like, I don't want to follow up with her every week, I'm being a pest. Is being a pest wrong or right in terms of just checking, hey, do you have everything? How am I doing? That kind of thing.
I don't think it's wrong. I always tell students a closed mouth doesn't get fed. And so I have one student in particular from Northwest who she emails me every single week. Mm-hmm. She's emailed me on every holiday to say hello. And the good thing about it, though, is it's kept her name before me. And so I'm more apt to make sure that, you know, her application is handled correctly. And hopefully, you know, that we can work out some type of admission decision that, you know, is considerable for her, and work with her family as best as possible. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing when students reach out to us and let us know about their situation. It adds a personal depth to a piece of paper, because we definitely want to make sure that students are reviewed based on, of course, their merits, but we also want to make sure, we don't forget the human element behind the application.
In terms, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, and especially as admission counselors at large schools, it's really helpful to continue to have that name in front of you exactly for that purpose. And if we know that the College of Liberal Arts has this event coming up or this scholarship application is coming up, we can connect them with those departments and those visits to give them more of a personal connection. And in situations where materials are lost or they want to know if their application is complete, we can help them navigate our online systems to check that information, or we can check it for them, and it gives them a point of contact. And so that's one of the exciting parts about us being here locally and being able to provide that additional attention to students.
Dumb question. For admittance to the schools at West Lafayette, for Purdue or to IU Bloomington, what is the deadline? I mean, we're here the 22nd of January. The deadline for this coming August over?
They still have time, actually.
Absolutely.
So the early action deadlines were November 1st, but our priority deadlines are coming up, which is February 1st. And so we definitely encourage students to get all of their application materials submitted online, their SAT and ACT scores submitted from the testing centers, their transcripts sent from their guidance counselors. Also, another point of contact, since we work specifically in Marion County, we know most of the guidance counselors or whoever our contacts are. So we can make sure that whole circle is closed as it relates to submitting materials and making sure we have what we need as well.
Yeah, do the charters have and the takeovers have guidance counselors? Is that also a part of what you're doing as well as the parochials?
Absolutely. We work in those schools just as much as we work in township schools and IPS.
Back to the phones and Brother Motep. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Hello, I just want to say hello to a fellow Purdue alumni there. My wife and I got our associates at Purdue in Hammond, Purdue came in. We don't get much mention up there. And then she went on IPY here. I did mine through online. My brother-in-law was 39 years old. Well, he was about 38 when he got admitted to Purdue, Cal, and Hammond. And now he's the person over the audio-visual department up there in Calumet. So my question is, Lanny Ganier wrote a very, very long essay concerning the SAT and ACT, and I don't want to go through the whole history of it and why it was started, IQ tests and who created it and all the stuff like that, but about 50 to 60 schools have started dropping that, and the SAT is now trying to pressure these schools. It's a lot about money involved in this testing that's going on. A lot of it, if you read it, please look it up. It's a great, great piece. I'm telling you, look it up. It's well worth it, and she actually was first using Harvard, but then she used everyone else.
Right.
But I like your opinion on that. Do you all know that a lot of these schools have started dropping that? Because let's just face it, if someone is good for 4 years in high school, people have test anxiety. People do. I mean, my mother failed the bar the first time. She's been a pretty good lawyer for 40 years in Chicago since then. You know, you have a lot of good, you know, right. I mean, people have test anxiety. So that's what these schools are saying in her article. And the fact of the matter that she's finding out is this pressure, because it's a money thing from the SAT and the when it was first started, college entrance board.
All right, let me
when it was started. And what is your opinion about it? And I'll take it off the air. Thank
all
you.
All right, Kayla and Tara. It's a money thing, but you all don't pay for the SAT and ACT. It's the kids that do it.
Correct.
This is true, and we definitely care more about your academic record, so what you've done over the last 4 years, than your results from a three-hour test on a Saturday. But those scores do matter, especially in some technical degrees, because you do have to take some tests in order to be able to officially work in that field. And research has also shown that based on, again, certain majors, a certain level of test taking helps to demonstrate if that student is going to be successful for the next 4 years in that program.
Mm-hmm.
So in some cases, they do matter and are a big indicator of success, but we definitely value the academic record and their grades more.
239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's name. So this effort started when?
Started pretty much immediately, I would say, very early on. Like I said, I've been at IU since February of this past year, 2014. And so I immediately reached out to Tara probably.
So how did this effort work with the class of, what's in here now? 2019?
The freshman class.
That's 2019. How did this work for the class of 2019? And when you all start working on the class of 2020? Ooh. Boy, that's just that date.
It's crazy to think about how we're planning for that far in advance.
Yeah.
But I think most this past fall when we started coming together on various efforts, and we know that our end goal is to get students into college. We want to see more students of color on our campuses. Of course we do. We want to reach them from the recruiting aspect. But we also know that all students don't want to attend IU or Purdue, or it may not be the best fit for them. So our goal is to provide the tools and the information they need to prepare them for college. So we have had some joint efforts with senior nights at Pike High School. We've served on panels for other schools. We're working with various school districts right now in order to plan programs that help their students prepare. But we knew that maybe alone, we may get a decent number of students, but we also know that there may be some biases about our schools, but together we had all of our bases covered. And so we could share our individual messages, but the joint message of college preparation and the, you know, preparing for the academic honors diploma and all of that was going to be very similar.
For parents and grandparents listening that may be working class or, you know, below the poverty level or just slightly above the poverty level, if they've got sixth graders, seventh graders, and eighth graders, how important is it looking down the road to get those kids signed up for 21st Century Scholars?
it's imperative. I mean, 21st Century Scholars Program, you sign up in your eighth grade year. If you meet those particular requirements, you want to make sure that you get your students signed up, because
that's the tuition piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a big piece.
And that's such a big piece for IU Bloomington in particular, because of our Covenant Award, for students who are 21st Century Scholars.
What's that award? That's extra money?
That's extra money. So the 21st Century will cover their tuition, and with the Covenant Award, they don't have to do any extra paperwork. They don't have to even have a GPA requirement. They simply just have to be a 21st Century Scholar, complete their FAFSA, and we're going to cover their room, board, and their books.
In terms also of those folks that have applied for college, they've got their applications in, or they're thinking of applying, whether it's to Purdue or IU or some other school. How important is it that starting in February, they got to get that financial aid thing together and they got to fill out that FAFSA?
It's very important.
That's the deal.
And actually, there's the FAFSA. We have FAFSA completion challenge going on at several schools throughout Marion County, because our goal is
they have a contest to fill that thing out.
We do. Actually, that's sponsored by the Indiana Youth Institute, but it's something that's definitely going on and is critical now that January is here, because they can submit the FAFSA. The priority deadline for many schools throughout the state is March 1st.
Right.
I know the state deadline is the 10th, but the priority for many colleges is March 1st, and that can help to receive that. First of all, it's imperative to receive the 21st Century Scholar Funds and to receive the Covenant Award.
Or any of the other monies y'all got.
And Purdue has a similar program called Purdue Promise for 21st Century Scholars, which covers cost of attendance as well. So get the taxes done, or at least use an estimate so you can get that FAFSA complete. So that's for need-based aid. That's also for any other types of loans or any institutional aid or anything else that has some sort of income credential that goes along with that.
Especially with our Cox Scholarship at IU Bloomington, that information has to be completed because those scholarships are need-based as well.
In terms of what's the biggest, as you look at applications, what's the biggest, I won't say a mistake because that's not the wrong word, what's the biggest shortcoming you see in applications?
We need 4 years of math.
Mm-hmm. Well, you Purdue, that's Neil Armstrong, astronauts.
The same is true at IU Bloomington, too.
So they do, too. See?
Yeah, we're the same.
That's Ernie Pyle. That's other kind of great folk.
And for IU, it even needs to be
business.
So we want to make sure that a lot of times students are thinking about what classes they need to graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to think about what classes they need to prepare for and graduate from college.
Particularly what they want to do in college.
Exactly.
Yes. So if they want to be a scientist, it's 4 years of math.
Well, really, it's all for all majors.
For you guys, it's 4 years of math for you all?
And for Bloomington.
Yes. So they need 4 years. And the research shows that regardless of major, the more math they have, the more likely they are to be successful in college.
Absolutely.
So we need them to get the math. And it doesn't have to be calculus. It can be even statistics in that last class. But now for those science majors, engineering, management, pharmacy, being on that pre-calculus track, definitely a good idea. But also going towards the core 40 with academic honors. And so it's not enough just to meet the minimum for high school. We want them to prepare for college, taking those core classes in senior year. So 4 years of English, math, science, social, 3 years of social studies, and at least 2 years of foreign language.
People, but for us, it's also 4 years of math. And we're particularly looking at pre-calculus and calculus. We definitely want to see that, or trigonometry. We want to see that on the application, because, again, that math preparation is going to help those students be more successful.
What is somebody going to? What's the new name of the media school?
Gotta love it.
That name is dumber than the name.
So many great majors coming out of that, though.
That's the dumbest name since Northwestern changed theirs to communication from speech. What do you need calculus and pre-calculus to do what I do?
Because you need to have just that overall preparation. I mean, I am a communication major from the University of Louisville. And I will have to say that I use math on a regular basis in my career, as well as when I even went to seminary, I still was using math. So all of those things, you just never know where math is going to pop up. And so that preparation definitely is going to help those students.
Let me go to Anthony at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing today?
Fine.
Okay. I got a daughter who's in the ninth grade.
Okay.
And my ex told me she signed her up for the 21st Century Scholar. I found out later that she didn't.
Ooh.
Now, she's a straight-A student. She's already taking college algebra. And I'm just asking if there are any other scholarships out there she can get now that she missed the 21st Century Scholarship.
And she had, no paperwork that she had signed up for 21st Century Scholars?
No, I just think that was
okay.
One
of them Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick things. Okay, I got it. Other than 21st Century, there's Pell Grants, there's federal aid, there's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, there's additional scholarships that our institutions offer. For us, we also have the IU Groups program. We have the Hudson and Holland Scholars Program.
Here's a reverse thing, because they sound like here's the responsible dad. But the dad and the mom are not together, but they have the welfare of their child. How important is it on the whole financial aid piece and admission is blended families in the income and the dollars to help that kid?
I think one of the most important pieces is for that student to perform well in high school. And so, granted, there's no guarantee that she'll receive a merit-based scholarship or need-based, depending on what their financial situation is. But if overall she is getting A's and B's in her courses, she's taking challenging classes, she's getting involved in leadership, she's putting herself in a position to be eligible for many different kinds of scholarships, mm-hmm. scholarships from the universities that she's interested in attending, scholarships from foundations, from fraternities and sororities have scholarships that are available. Education foundations have scholarships available. There are websites, finaid.org or fastweb.com, that you can put in your profile to see what kinds of scholarships meet your profile based on who you are and what you do and where you've been involved. So that's the route that I would encourage.
And also getting connected into organizations, because another part of our work together is also our ability to work together with our organizations here in Indianapolis and surrounding areas. So plugging your students into Center for Leadership mm-hmm. Development, right. plugging your students into YMCA Y Achievers or Starfish Initiative, mm-hmm. which particularly, you know, does a lot of work with 21st Century Scholars, or Indiana Latino Institute. These types of organizations, and there's many, there's dozens more, 100 Black Men, so many more that do really great work and offer scholarship opportunities, mm-hmm. this becomes an opportunity to get your child participating in these things so that right. not only they get the college preparation, but hopefully can get some type of financial award at the end.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Anthony. Let me go to Dave right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, good afternoon. Amos, and your guest.
Good afternoon.
Trying to get the young ladies from IU name and number, if we can. We had a student at our church that was denied admissions, and we need to know... how can that be rectified?
And was they denied admission for the current
freshman? I'm sorry. She was accepted, and then when she went to get in the dormitory, the lady sent her home.
Wait a minute. Wait. Let me make
sure. Yeah, that's true.
I don't, Dave, knowing you, I don't doubt you. So when she was she admitted back in August or in January?
I don't know. It's been a couple of years.
Oh,
but what was called to my attention was when they lost, the lady called in and said they lost a lady student's packet. And trying to get the young lady from IU maybe to look into these kind of things.
I think if there was a problem with the dorm, that would not be the Office of Admissions necessarily. That would be student life. But I think that is something that needs, Dave, I want you to hold on. Give that information, to Drew. And I'll pass it on to the staff people that are here from, the university. And they can research what happened and get back to you. Okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. So Dave will hold on, and Anonymous will be our last caller with the folks from IU and Purdue, working together, to keep students here in Indiana and attend one of two great universities. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi, Amos. Hi, ladies. I had a question. Amos, I know you had mentioned earlier about blended families.
Yes.
And I didn't get a clear picture on it when it comes to the FAFSA. How would you do that? Like, do you use both parents, even if they're in two separate households, for income purposes, or one parent, or how does that go, or someone elaborate on that?
I think that is the flexibility of the family. FAFSA asks who is the responsible person. Okay. The responsible person could be the student. If it's the student, then everybody else has to lay low. If the responsible person is one parent or two parents, then they indicate that and provide the information on the FAFSA. And then though they become, from the university's point of view, the responsible parent. And then some students can be 18 or 19 and they on their own and they are the responsible adult. So I think the term responsible parent, maybe it's responsible adult, or there's okay. There's a term that that admissions people in universities use, but somebody has to be responsible.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. And when we come to February, and it's time for College Goal Sunday. Oh yeah. That's our annual 2-hour, everything you ever want to know about financial aid. We've not set that date, but that is coming.
February 22nd.
We'll be doing that before.
Oh.
That's two whole, you can listen.
Okay.
Or, you know, maybe you guys can, you know, help be the volunteer. The only difference is we'd have to disguise your school, because then everybody would be calling wanting to know why did my kid get in there. So now if you want more information about admissions for IU at Purdue, it's real simple. Go to indiana.edu or go to purdue.edu. Click on admissions.
Yes.
Because everything is electronic.
Absolutely.
And they give you receipts, too, when the computer says, we have got it. And then that's when you print it off and do whatever. Mm-hmm. Kayla Granville, Associate Director of Community Relations and Outreach for Indiana University Bloomington. And Tara Evans, Associate Director of Purdue Admissions in West Lafayette. And we'll give the report to my good friends, President Daniel and President McRobbie, that y'all did well.
Thank you.
So they need to promote you. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you.